We thank God for the soldiers who left these shores and went to serve in the forces. And let me emphasize tonight that there were soldiers from both sections of the community who went to the Western Front and went to the trenches to fight. Of course, something unusual happened on Christmas Eve 100 years ago. It was a miracle, you could say, that on Christmas Eve 1914, there was a miraculous truce. And the two armies laid down their weapons, and the fighting stopped, and the bullets stopped flying back and forward. And by the way, there's a little leaflet just at the door. If you haven't got it and read it, take it with you as you leave tonight. And it's called When the Bullets Stopped. And it tells about the Christmas truce. So take that leaflet with you as you leave tonight. But the Christmas truce was an amazing event, an amazing incident. Of course, there's a song that has been written this Christmas time. You may have heard it. It's a special song, and the proceeds from the sales are going to the charities, different charities that are benefiting from the sales. It's called 1914, The Carol of Christmas. You may have seen it. It's a very moving, emotional song that has been written. And by the way, the man who wrote it is a believer. The man who penned it is a Christian. He's a man by the name of Chris Eaton. You can actually go onto his website, and he gives the Lord the glory, and he wants the Lord to be praised. And what a moving, poignant song it is as we remember the truce. And it speaks in that song about the million souls, because there were millions who passed away during the First World War, and we want to remember them, as I've already said, from both sections of the community, those who gave their lives for the cause of freedom. But we're thinking tonight about the truce, and we've been singing Silent Night, Holy Night, and that was the carol that struck up on Christmas Eve 1914 in the trenches. You may have seen the advert. There's a Sainsbury advert on the internet. You may have seen it as well. And again, it's a very poignant, moving advert. And it depicts what happened that night 100 years ago, Christmas Eve, as the German soldiers, the German troops, suddenly began to sing Silent Night. And it was a silent night, because the bullets and the bombs, the grenades, had stopped falling. And in the silence of that Christmas Eve, 1914, the beautiful Christmas carol penned by Joseph Moore all those years ago was heard. And first of all, in the German trenches. Now, I'm not going to try to sing Silent Night in German tonight, don't worry. And I'm not even going to try to sing it myself in English, because we need to lock the doors to keep you in. You'd be trying to get out. But there it was, Silent Night, the soldiers in the trenches. Now, you think about that tonight, because we're in a comfortable, warm church. And we're thankful to God tonight for this bright and warm and comfortable building that we can come into. But you think about the trenches 100 years ago, and the squalor, and the cold, and the wet, and the rats running round your feet. And those young men, many of them in their teens, maybe just 14, 15, 16 years of age, away from home, fighting in a war over Christmas. How dreadful it must have been. What terrible, awful conditions it must have been. But into the midst of that squalor, and into the midst of the darkness, came the beautiful message of Christmas. And surely the Christmas truce from 100 years ago, it proves to us the power of Christmas, or maybe I should say the power of Jesus Christ to bring peace. And you see, the Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that night, 100 years ago, the beautiful, wonderful peace of Christmas descended on the battlefields of World War I. The next day, of course, was Christmas Day. And there was still silence, no fighting, no bullets going back and forward, no grenades. And then the soldiers, one group of soldiers, They started to wave the white flags. And then one of the soldiers began to climb up out of the trenches. My, that was a brave action. But as he climbed up, the other side, they realized that there was no danger. This was like an olive branch being held out. And then, of course, we know the story that the two sides climbed up out of their trenches. They stopped fighting. They left the trenches behind and went into what's called no man's land. Then, of course, the handshakes and the Christmas greetings. They exchanged small gifts like jam, chocolate, other small items, wished each other a Merry Christmas. Do you know they even started to play football? And those of you who like football, well, that'll be of interest to you. The soldiers, I think it was jumpers that they laid down. They got their jumpers and they made goalposts from the jumpers and started to play football. You may have seen lately, those of you who are into football, you may have noticed that the Premier League in England were remembering the Christmas truce. And the FA, the Football Association. There's even a statue that has been unveiled in Liverpool. You know what it's called? No Man's Hand. Now, I didn't get it wrong. You might say, well, is it not No Man's Land? Well, no, it's No Man's Hand. Because that statue depicts a German soldier and an Allied soldier reaching out in the middle of No Man's Land 100 years ago, reaching out to say, Happy Christmas. Reaching out to shake hands. By the way, Germany won 3-2 in the football. They always seem to win, especially on penalties. But we're coming tonight to think about the Prince of Peace. Because you see, the truce that took place 100 years ago in the trenches, it was just that, it was just a truce. And what is a truce? It's a temporary peace. It doesn't last. It's a temporary cessation of hostilities. But when it came to the new year, the fighting began again and the peace had ended. What a tragedy it was that something so beautiful, something so memorable had to end. Well, I want to tell you tonight, as we come toward the end of this carol service, I want to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, wants to offer you something far better than a truce. He wants to offer you peace, eternal peace, everlasting peace, peace between you and God, peace between you and your Maker. So let's come tonight and think about the Prince of Peace. And I just want to leave 4 thoughts with you tonight about the peace that the Savior gives. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ thought peace. And then in Scripture we read that He brought peace. We also read that He taught peace. And finally tonight we'll think about how the Savior bought peace. First of all, think with me tonight about how Christ thought peace. Because we read in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, the prophet Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, thoughts of peace." You see, way back in eternity past, before God had created this world, before He had spoke this universe into existence, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they had a consultation, we could say, the Holy Trinity. And those three members of the Trinity, they had thoughts of peace toward mankind. Perhaps you say tonight, well, how does that work? Surely man hadn't even been created. Time hadn't begun. How does that work? How does that happen? Well, you see, the God we worship tonight, the God who sent His Son to the manger at Bethlehem, He's a God who knows the end from the beginning. We talk about His foreknowledge. And we talk about His sovereignty, His power to see into eternity past, His power to see into eternity future. And God in heaven, He saw that down the generations of time, yes, man would be created, but man would fall, and man would need a Savior. And God the Father, he had thoughts of peace toward fallen man. And God the Son had thoughts of peace toward God, toward fallen man. God the Holy Spirit had thoughts of peace toward fallen man. You see, God could have just said, well, man's going to fall into sin. I'll just leave him be. It's his own fault. We've all heard the saying, when you make your bed, you have to lie in it. Man made his bed, and God in heaven could have said, just lie in it. But he didn't. He wanted to provide redemption. He wanted to provide salvation. And he had thoughts of peace. And he wanted man who no longer had peace because of sin, man who was cut off and separated from his holy maker, his holy creator God, he wanted that peace to return to fallen man. You know, it is a wonderful thing to have peace with God. Let me ask you tonight, do you have that peace? Oh, I know that we would love to see peace in the world, peace between men. And it's terrible to think of the inhumanity that we hear about on the news. We see it on our television screens last Tuesday. Hard to believe that men could go into a school in Pakistan and cut down 132 innocent children. And we long for the day when that'll be a thing of the past. Yes, we long for peace in our world. But you see, peace with God is where it all starts. You know the reason, friends, tonight, the reason why our world is in turmoil, the reason why man is fighting against man tonight and nation against nation, it's because those individuals don't have peace with God in their souls. And the amazing thing is, whenever you have peace with God in here, on the inside, then it's not very hard to reach out your hand to someone perhaps who was your former enemy and someone that you hated. It's not very hard to do whenever the love of God and the peace of God is shed abroad in your heart. And so God had thoughts of peace, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, thought peace toward a fallen world. I want to say secondly tonight that Christ not only thought peace, but Christ brought peace, because we have read tonight in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, it tells us there how Mary laid her little child in the manger because there's no room for them in the inn. Did you notice how she wrapped the Savior? What did she wrap him in? The swaddling clothes. The white flag of peace. It is just as if God Almighty was waving the white flag of peace to a lost world, to fallen mankind. It was just as if God Almighty, who could have judged and punished this lost world, it was just as if he was saying, now to you fallen sinners in Bethlehem and Jerusalem and right across the world and in new buildings, I'm wrapping my precious only begotten Son in the swaddling clothes, the white flag of peace, just to let you know that I'm sending him on an errand of peace. And I want you to have peace with me. The angels, they couldn't hold back. Because you know, whenever you realize the gospel and the wonder of it and the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, you know, dear friends, you can't hold back. You just got to let go. It's like a volcano on the inside and the lava about to bubble over the top. And you see, the angels, they couldn't refrain themselves any longer, and they burst out in song, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know, perhaps the angels were looking down upon the little cradle in Bethlehem. They saw the little swaddling clothes wrapped around the Son of God incarnate. And my, they couldn't hold back. It was just like the white flag of peace that had come to a fallen world. You know, they cried out and they sang, on earth, peace. Did you ever think about those three words? On earth, peace. Do you know what they were singing about? A person. The Prince of Peace. Because he was on the earth. In Bethlehem's manger, in that old stable, in that old barn 2014 years ago, peace had come to the earth. And in that little manger, yes, the angels got it right. They said, on earth peace, because the Prince of Peace had come to this earth, to this world. You know, every one of us, I believe, in our heart of hearts, we want peace. We want peace with God. But you know, that peace is not a thing. It's a person. And if you want peace with God tonight, don't seek after a thing. Seek after a person. And his name is Jesus. And he's the Prince of Peace. And if you get Christ, then you'll get peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ thought peace. Christ brought peace. Christ taught peace. My, never man spake like this man, the little babe in the manger when he grew up and he went out into his public ministry. Do you not remember it? Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I do believe that he was speaking about people in the world who try to make peace. Mind you, there are people today who set themselves up as peacemakers, and actually, in truth, they're far from it. But you know, whenever Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, I believe he was speaking about himself. Because he's the greatest peacemaker of all, and he came into this world to make peace between you and God, between me and God. He came to make it possible for us to enjoy peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. How could we forget those words in John 14, they're read at funeral services. My, what a comfort they are. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, it tells us there, the Lord Jesus cried out, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, he taught peace. Wonder, do you have that peace that he spoke about? Do you have that peace that makes it possible to put your head on the pillow tonight when you go home? And to know that all is well with your soul. But I want to finish tonight. Let me suggest to you that the Lord Jesus not only thought peace and brought peace and taught peace, but thank God he bought peace. Jesus bought peace. We read in Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know the reason why Jesus came into the world was to go to the cross. It was to die in our place. You see, the hymn writer put it like this, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved. How? Saved by his precious blood. You know, there's a lovely story told of the missionary. You may have heard of him, Don Richardson. He was a Canadian missionary. He went with his wife to New Guinea. It's the second largest island in the world after Greenland. Just above Australia, the island of New Guinea, Don and Carol Richardson. They went to the island of New Guinea in 1962 to reach the Sawe tribe. And they worked and they labored among them, tried to learn the language, tried to get the language written down. The people had never written down the language, they just spoke in the language. They wanted to translate the Bible into the language of the people. But you know, they labored and they tried their level best to learn the language and to spread the gospel, to share the gospel with the Sawe tribe. And eventually, it came to the time where they were telling the story of Judas and Jesus and how Judas betrayed Jesus. And you see, the people in the Sawe tribe, They glorified deception. Their culture was based on deception. And when the missionaries started to talk about Judas betraying Jesus, they started to cheer Judas. Because you see, as far as they were concerned, Judas was the hero. Jesus was just the dupe who got tricked and got fooled. And you know, the missionaries, their hearts sank. How are we going to communicate the gospel? And then it just seemed to be divine intervention, because one morning they discovered a custom in the tribe. In order to make peace between two fighting tribes, one father from one tribe would have to take his only child and go to the enemy tribe and offer that child to a father from the enemy child. And as they saw that custom taking place before their eyes, they realized this is the way to share the gospel. Through the peace child, we can tell them of a greater peace child, of God the Father, who gave his only begotten Son to this lost world so that this world might have peace, so that we as sinners might have peace. And Don and Carol Richardson had the joy of speaking to that tribe and the other tribes about the greatest peace child, the Prince of Peace, who had been given by God the Father to a lost world. You know, we've been speaking tonight about the truce, the First World War truce, Christmas truce from 100 years ago. How do we finish tonight? What is my message to you as we finish? It's simply this. Stop fighting with God. Come up out of the trenches and meet the Lord in no man's land tonight. And come to know the Prince of Peace. And you know what? If you get up out of the trenches of your sin tonight and the darkness, the squalor of your sin, you go and meet the Lord in no man's land, I want to tell you, He'll meet you halfway. He'll meet you there, and you know His hand is outstretched to receive you and to save your soul.